afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and I'm your host for Inspire Indeed, where we're learning about community issues and the nonprofits and community leaders that are working to address them. And hopefully you'll learn something new and be inspired to think about how you might make a difference with your deeds. You know, there are many adults in our community that are living with intellectual disabilities that prevent them from being able to live independently. These individuals still have a lot to share with the community, but they do need to rely on others to help get them by with some basic daily living needs. Support One is a nonprofit that ensures adults with intellectual disabilities are served in a manner that respects their individuality and nurtures their talents and interests. Richard Schultz is the executive director of Support One, and he's here to share more. Welcome, Rich.
Thank you, Elaine. It's great to be here.
It's really nice to have you. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit first about why Support One is in Richmond? What's the community need that you're working to address?
Well, you know, I'm glad you start with that question because I'm new to Support One and been here for just a little over 6 months now. So I'm learning a lot about the field and what's happening in the field. So it's changing dramatically and has changed since the 1960s, 70s, and 80s to where we are today. The transformation that's occurred is, you know, there was a time where folks with intellectual disabilities, developmental disabilities, lived in isolation. They were institutionalized, and there really wasn't any opportunity for them to live in our communities. And then that shift began to change to more out of institutions and into community-based living. So that's how organizations like Support One were born. And there are, you know, a number of providers and communities all over the country. So for Support One, we were actually born in 1997 through Henrico County Mental Health. And there were a group of parents and concerned citizens who wanted to develop these options for their loved ones. And so the organization first started as community-based services at that time and then started opening residential homes to provide housing for individuals with intellectual disabilities. So the why is this real transition was taking place where we realized that we didn't want to have our loved ones living in institutions, that we wanted them to have the same rights we do to live in our community and live and be engaged.
And be engaged in our community, be out in the community and involved in the community.
Absolutely. So that's the why. And so, you know, we opened our first home in 1998. And have expanded since then to six programs we have all in the Richmond area.
So six programs, does that mean six different residences that you're managing?
That's correct. And so the six different residences, and they're in the city of Richmond and Henrico County and in Chesterfield County.
So right here in our region. Now, how do people qualify for living in your residences?
Mm-hmm. The folks who come to our programs come through what we call a Medicaid waiver, which means they get funding through Medicaid that allows them, the waiver part means that they waive the requirements to go to an institution, and they can use those funds to live in a group home setting or another residential program type of setting. So that's the types of folks who come to us, and then that funding gives them the resources they need to be able to live in the residential homes. And then we work with case managers in the community through either Richmond Behavioral Health or Henrico, Chesterfield Mental Health to build a very person-centered plan for each individual. Is how it works. And what I've learned is, and it's very, very interesting, is no single person, no plan is alike. Everybody has a very individualized plan that includes their own goals and their own aspirations.
Well, guess what? No person is alike, right?
Exactly, right.
So it only makes sense that their plans would be individualized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So in working with those case managers, they get to know the individual and what would be the best type of setting for them. And through that, they'll work with Support One to see if you're able to support them in that way, provide that type of service.
Yeah, and they have a very in-depth planning meeting with the individuals, with parents, if there are parents involved or loved ones. And they really include all the different providers of services for the individual. So Support One, we kind of are, I would describe us as the hub for all of their activities because we provide the residential housing, and then we're working with them to get them to different programs they participate in, whether it's Special Olympics, You know, whether it's programs at Grace Place, another outstanding nonprofit in the community that provides, you know, day services for folks with developmental disabilities. So, you know, it's all those moving pieces and parts that we kind of work with the case managers and coordinate all those things. And then, you know, keep that all flowing throughout the year.
So with the residences, you have staff there 24 hours a day with the clients that you're serving?
That's correct. And just like everybody is different, all the programs are different too, because the you'll find that the needs of each particular program vary based on the level of functioning of the person. So some of our high functioning residents, you know, we may have fewer staff, but there's always staff in the homes 24 hours a day around the clock to provide the supports and services that the folks need. You know, there are others who, you know, may be confined to wheelchairs and need more assistance. So in that case, you might have multiple staff on at any given time to help the folks as they need it.
Is your staff also the responsible for transportation to the other programs? You mentioned some of your partners like a Grace Place. Do mm-hmm. you help get your residents to a Grace Place?
Yeah, that's a great question, because it depends. Their Logisticare is an organization here that provides a lot of transportation. So what we do is, to get them to various activities, we'll work with another provider to get them there. Then other times we also have a fleet of vehicles that take them on trips.
Kind of trips?
Oh, we have residents that go on cruises. We have residents that, we have some that are planning a trip to Hershey Park right now. You know, and you know, that's what we strongly believe in, that they should enjoy life and live as inclusively as any of us do. So they'll go to the beach, they'll do Special Olympics, and, you know, and that's part of their plan. We sit and we talk with them among their goals and aspirations. You know, where would your vacation, where would you like to go this year? And some it depends on the means they have. Some have less means than others. So that's where contributions and support come in for those who don't have as much to work with. But again, we do our best to let them experience the world just like we do.
What other types of activities are they getting out to do in the Richmond community?
Well, I'll tell you, it's pretty amazing how connected the community is as far as what we do for the residents. They stay busy. I will tell you that. They stay busy, and we laugh because one of the things they love to do more than anything else is dance. They love, you know, our residents love dance. So we just, back in December, we did a holiday party at the Weinstein JCC, and, you know, we were all out there dancing, having a great time. So they love to do that. So there are actually community-wide dances that they go to that ARC will organize and other organizations. Or, you know, we also do just bingo, crafts, you know, all the things, again, the things that they love to do. Some of them love to make jewelry. They love to, you know, do wigs and do hairstyles. So we try to, again, give them the resources they need to spark their creative juices and the things that they love to do. You know, softball, you know, basketball.
Physical activity as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And in fact, some of them in their plan, physical activity is part of their goals. And some of them, it's, you know, I want to be able to make sure I walk in my neighborhood every day. So, you know, it's walking. It's, some of them have treadmills in some of the programs, the ones that have exercise as their goal. So it's all kinds of things. It's really, really interesting to see all of the things that they're involved in.
That's great. Do you find that your residents maybe have some challenges related to healthcare or health and wellness that maybe the general public doesn't experience?
Yeah, yes. I think it depends on the individual. And again, I don't want to speak out of turn because I'm learning the field. But one of the big issues that I'm understanding is just the access to dental hygiene and oral health. Because of affordability, again, their financial resources are so limited that often, you know, they don't get the dental care that they need. And we're actually talking with a group about a project now to work on that very thing with a statewide group that's interested in improving or dental hygiene for folks with intellectual disabilities.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. Today, we're learning about Support One, a local nonprofit that is caring for adults with intellectual disabilities with a holistic approach. Richard Schultz is Support One's executive director. And Rich, what's your website where people can learn more about Support One?
They go to supportone.org. org. They can, we've got information on there about the organization. We actually shot a really great video last Easter. We did a big Easter egg hunt at the one of our programs. I say that because when you open the website, that's kind of the anchor. So you'll see about a 2-minute video, and it really captures in a really colorful way the work that we do.
Nice.
And then from there, you can navigate through, again, more about the organization, the services we provide, how you can get involved volunteering, and if you would want interested in donating. Obviously, there's going to be a component to the website on that, too.
Great. So it's Support One, and one is spelled out?
Yeah, all spelled out. SupportOne.org.
SupportOne.org.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
Wonderful. So can you share a little bit about how your program is supported? You mentioned that your residents come with a Medicaid waiver that helps to pay for their services, but I would imagine that that doesn't really cover the cost.
No, it actually doesn't, and it's getting harder for providers, you know, not just Support One, but just like any nonprofit, you really got to diversify your source of revenue, and the Support One is recognizing that, as are others, and what we're working to do is get out there just like every other nonprofit and, you know, raise the level of awareness around the needs and this, and what we're trying to provide for the individuals, because there's so much that we want to do. Me being new, I've come in with so many ideas and so many things I want to do for the residents, and, you know, it takes funding to be able to do that, and that Medicaid funds provide a significant source of income for us. We know that we can't rely on that as our sole source of income. We've really got to diversify because, as you would expect, we run residential programs that need upkeep, the capital projects that need to happen to maintain the homes, whether it's new HVAC systems or plumbing, new roofs, you know, all of those things cost money. So the organization has got to really get out there and start raising money for the things it needs to do, not only for the infrastructure, but we want to do more for the residents too, you know, more volunteerism and connections with the residents. And we've started to make some progress in that area.
Now, what about, you mentioned that there are the houses, it's 6 houses that are out in the community. So these are houses that are in neighborhoods and just like any other neighborhood house?
Yeah, and our, you know, our effort, and we know we've done our job if our residential programs blend into the neighborhood just like any other. I doubt that you would go and see any of our programs and see anything different about them than you would any other home, because we have them and they're tucked in neighborhoods in the West End. We have a home, one of our programs is off Cherokee Road in South Richmond. We have one right at Iron Bridge in Chippenham that's out in Chesterfield County. So yeah, they're nice programs. And I think what happens, there can be a fear and a stigma when you are considering opening a program.
I was just going to ask about that, if neighborhoods sometimes present some resistance to locating.
Yeah, I think that can happen. In fact, my family is from Tidewater, and we had a home that opened next to my own parents' house, and they were concerned, you know, about, okay, what is this all about? What's going to happen? And, you know, even for them, the group home has been there for a number of years now, and they said it's been wonderful. They've been a great neighbor. And I think that that's what we strive for. We've had some where, you know, there have been concerns from the neighbors, and that's perfectly understandable because people just wonder, okay, what's this going to mean for my neighborhood? And some of them, we've become great friends, and, you know, they'll bake pies and bring them over to the residents. You know, some of the neighbors will. So
that's,
I think,
nice.
We have a very nice relationship with a lot of our neighbors. And part of that is to maintain the relationship. It's communicating and, you know, letting them know the things that are going on, and keeping them involved.
And I imagine there's that open communication. If they ever have any concerns, that they would let you know and you could help address that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we want, because, you know, we want to know if there are any concerns, anything that they see or that they have feelings about that they'd like to see done differently. You know, that's what we want to know, because we want to do better, and we want to be better neighbors, certainly.
Mm-hmm. And they can be assured that they have a home in the neighborhood that's being looked after, it's being kept up, it's going to be, you're going to be a good neighbor.
Yeah, we really, really strive for that. And I think, you know, as the programs have been more established and they get to know the residents, they love them just like we do, you know, their family. So it's nice to watch that evolution take place.
I imagine that there's something interesting that happens too in terms of helping people recognize that adults with intellectual disabilities aren't that different from all of us. They're not scary or going to cause trouble or anything like that. It's an opportunity to help people just gain exposure to somebody different from them, their own background, and broaden their horizons and maybe help them understand and appreciate the issues.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as I've gotten to know our residents too, again, you just really get close. And some of them, that, you know, they're all levels of functioning again, but your heart just love them. I mean, that's why I want to expand our services, because I want to be able to expose them to arts and culture and different things, because they want it the way they want those things. Some of them love to go to the ballet. They want to go to the opera. You know, they've been to Glen Allen Cultural Arts Center. You know, they want to do those things, and they should. They should be able to. And, you know, for some of those, it costs money. So, you know, that's part of what I'm interested in, is how can we ramp up to be able to provide them the kind of life that we all want.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish the listeners could see your face when you start talking about the residents, because it really lights up. I mean, I think it's very evident that you have sincere caring for the residents that you're looking after.
Oh, they're wonderful. And I really have, they're special. You know, the success stories. Here's the other thing too, that I've heard stories about when people have come to us and what condition they've been in. We had one young lady who came from an institution, and she crawled, and we even have a picture of her now that, you know, while she can't walk, she can stand up. You know, her main mode of transportation is a wheelchair, but to see the improvement in her condition because she's getting the right supports and she's getting the care and the love and the support that she needs, it's just amazing to see what has happened for her. Mm. And there's plenty of other stories like that, you know, where when they come and they're getting the right support and they're getting people who are paying attention to them, you know, the transformation that can take place is pretty amazing.
So you're really improving their lives while they're with you. Now, how long do folks stay with you then?
We tend to keep them once they come into a program. And here's the thing. I think all of the people who provide residential services, we look very, very closely for the right fit. You know, because when you bring in somebody, you're going to have housemates, right? And so when we look at, when we do have an opening in a program, we look very carefully at the makeup of the residents who are there to make sure that they're all going to have a good experience together. Mm-hmm. And I would say, I would describe some of them as best friends. I mean, if we've done it right. Again, they go on their trips together and they just have a wonderful experience with each other. So that's why you have to be real careful when you do have openings. I'd say the most interesting story that we have that just blew me away when I first got here is we have one program where we have six brothers and sisters, all siblings with intellectual disabilities, which is a remarkable story. In
all
itself.
Within the same family.
Yeah, all brothers and sisters. And I don't know the how or any of that, but what I do know and I'm very proud of is that we've been able to keep that family together. So all six brothers and sisters live in a program together, and that's, to me, is very special. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what circumstances any of us are going to be born into, right?
That's right.
And, you know, for them, to see what a loving family that is, you go into that house, and it's just, it's really touching that they're all able to be together.
Now, do most of your homes have about that number of residents? You said that's a six-person program.
Yeah, that's our largest program. I'd say they're anywhere usually from four to six. Folks. Mm-hmm. And again, you just really look for the right mix. You know, there are some, as I said, that are they're pretty independent and they know what they want to do. And, you know, it's our job to support them and to help them do that. And again, there are others that, like the young lady that came out of the institution, you know, we still make sure she gets to live and engage life in the community, but she just needs more support. She needs mm-hmm. more people helping her
with those activities of daily life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, if you are just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. And we're speaking with Richard Schultz, who is with Support One, and he's sharing more about what the organization provides for the community. What's your website again, where people can learn more?
SupportOne.org, SupportOne.org, and that'll take you right there.
Great. Thank you. Now, you mentioned earlier that there could be some opportunities for volunteers as well. Can you share a little bit about how volunteers engage with Support One?
Yeah, this is something, too, that we're starting to build out is opportunities for volunteer engagement. So a couple ways I would say there would be ways to engage more hands-on with the residents, with the people that we support, and also there are projects. So I would kind of divide the two that way. And we're actually kicking off, I'm really excited about this, with Hands-On Greater Richmond. We're starting this month. A project with them that we're going to be doing monthly activities, and those are more resident focused. So we're doing quarterly birthday parties for the residents where we're having volunteers come in and, you know, throw big parties for them. And then there'll be things like craft nights where the volunteers work with the residents on different projects, like, again, the ones who like to make jewelry or, you know, different activities like that. Then also, you know, talking about doing karaoke or dance parties or bingo nights, you know, just fun things that, and for volunteers who care about this population, it would be a great way to engage with them and learn more. So that's something we're kicking off with Hands-On Greater Richmond. And then on the other side, you know, as I mentioned, our programs and their infrastructure needs, we have, we call it House Beautiful Program, where we're just recruiting volunteers or volunteer groups that can come in and they can do landscaping projects at the programs. They can do interior projects, you know, paint rooms. We have carpet that needs to come up and hardwood floors need to go down in some places. So what we're trying to do is build these experiences, you know, based on the skill level of the volunteers. So, you know, if we had some contractors, for example, that were interested in helping, we could provide them with a, you know, a much more complicated project.
Sure.
Then, you know, we would some folks who just want to come in and help us do something more simple like painting. And then for, I would say, every one of our programs, the landscaping component, we need help there. We just got a group from the Virginia National Guard, who's going to come out in April, and they're going to take two of our programs and totally transform the exterior. So we're really, really excited about that.
Oh, that is exciting.
So they're going to come out in April, and they've already been out to kind of do an audit and assessment of our landscaping at those two properties, and they're going to come out and just kind of do a whole makeover.
Are they going to help bring the supplies, the mulch, and all of that,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, they're doing everything.
They're doing everything. That's terrific.
Which is a godsend because, you know, since we do have a very limited budget, when we can find folks who can do that, help us, you know, that's huge, huge. So we're so excited. And so I think it's going to be about 14 soldiers from the Guard that are going to come out and do this. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're going to take lots of pictures and make sure it's on our website.
Yes, definitely. And a way for folks who are in the National Guard to continue their service.
Absolutely.
Here at home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And the gentleman we were working with there is just phenomenal. He is so... I wish I had a tenth of his organizational skills.
Well, just spend some time in the Army and you might gain some.
That's right.
Right? I think that's a good place to get those skills. Now, can you share a little bit again about how people could, if there are other ways that people could participate with Support One? There are great volunteer activities, other things that folks could be doing?
Yeah, you know, we say the volunteer activities are great ways to get involved. We also talk about gifts of, I guess I say, treasure or talent. You know, that gets into some of the in-kind contributions and support of supplies and things that we would need. Because we're going to have, I think what we'll be experiencing are volunteers who want to come help, but they may not have the resources to, you know, provide mulch and mm-hmm. or whatever we need. So to get that in-kind support to match it with the volunteer activities is very important. And then, of course, financial support. You know, we're looking at diversifying, again, as we talked about, but to look at funding from private donors, from private and public, well, private foundations, corporations, you know, just traditional, more traditional nonprofit fundraising that we haven't been able to do. And one thing I would love to try to do is try to organize a special events for Support One, something that we're talking about, and it may take some time. It's hard to get those off the ground, but I think a signature event would not only raise money, but, you know, raise the level of awareness. Because I think the biggest thing I've heard since I've been at Support One, the people in the field, the organization has a very good reputation. But outside, a lot of people don't even know we're here.
Sure.
So how do we, you know, raise that brand awareness level, I guess? So I'm thinking about whether a special event would be a good way to go for us.
Great. Well, I'm glad that you had an opportunity to come share your story on WRIR as well.
I'm thrilled to be here. Gosh, thank you all for giving the nonprofit community a voice.
That's why we're so here, critical. Community radio.
Absolutely.
So you've been listening to Richard Schultz, who is the executive director of Support One. He's been talking about the services that they provide in the community. And Rich, what's your website one more time?
It is supportone.org, SUPPORTONE.org.
Great. Thanks so much for sharing, Rich. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, just a quick announcement before we close about an opportunity for youth to get involved. The Richmond Peace Education Center has announced its annual essay contest for our region's children and youth. The 2013 Peace Essay Contest theme this year is going to be Learning to Live in Peace. What roles do our families or those who raise us play in teaching us about peace? And as you grow up, how does what you learn from your family or caregivers affect your beliefs and behaviors about peace? And then how does that affect your actions in the community and in the world? This essay contest is open to any elementary, middle, or high school student in Virginia, and deadline for entries is April 22nd. So go to the Richmond Peace Education website for more information. That's rpec.org. Before signing off, I'd also like to share my thanks with Jay Westerman, who is the engineer for our show, and to Jesse Johnson for volunteering on the board down here at Volunteer Power, WRIR 97.3 LPFM. We are so grateful to our volunteers and supporters, and you can visit WRIR.org to learn more about how you can become a volunteer or donor to the station. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and you've been listening to Inspire Indeed, a show that focuses on nonprofits and change makers who are working to make a difference in the community. I hope you learned something new on the show today and that you are inspired to think about how you might make a difference with your deeds.